Our speaker today is Pastor Igor Butansky. He has been here before. He comes to us from the Westlake Seventh-day Adventist Church, just west of Cleveland. And we appreciate him coming to be with us today, and we want to welcome you to our pulpit, such as it is here.
I may not have enough time to get to these books, but at least I like to whet your appetite, okay? So, good morning to everyone. It is a privilege for me to come back again. Last time I was here, you had a very similar vacation Bible school. We in our Hungarian church in Westlake conduct vacation Bible school. I enjoy the vacation Bible school. It's a time when I feel young again. You know, I'm 84. I am mourning the loss of my wife and the loss of my younger daughter. They died within 6 months from each other, so it's tough. Let me put it this way. It's hard. Yes, I have the blessed hope, and that helps. But it does not replace them. You follow me? Yes, it comforts me, but does not replace them. Down? Okay. I come with a burden this morning. And the burden on my heart is speaking the truth as it is in Jesus. Speaking the truth. George Orwell said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And when exposing a crime is treated as committing a crime, let me repeat this. This is an extremely important principle. Listen carefully. When exposing a crime is treated as committing a crime, you are being ruled by criminals. That's a heavy charge. But in the current governmental climate, where laws that run contrary to the dictates of the Constitution, laws are made in secret, passed without debate, upheld by secret courts that operates behind closed doors, obeying one's conscience and speaking the truth to the powers of the state can render you enemy of the state. From childhood on, I would say rather from high school on, I was always interested in history. When I was not a Christian, I was interested in political history in Hungary. We have gone through much. I remember when Hungary was occupied by Germany during World War II. That was a right-wing extreme. And then when the Germans lost the war and the Russians came in, we were occupied by the Russians. That's a left-wing extreme. So I have seen both sides of the fence and listened to much. Now I look at history from a theological perspective. I'm still interested in history, but I limit my TV just 1 hour. The first half an hour local news, the second half an hour international news, and then I shut it off. Also, I have the internet on my computer, and I receive much info from the internet. You remember the name of Julian Assange? At least some of you should remember. I just printed out about 5 pages. He is an Australian, established WikiLeaks. And then they try to arrest him. I'm just summarizing it. But listen, while it sounds like a secular history, I am looking at it from a biblical perspective. Are you with me so far? So don't pick up a stone, all right? I'm not promoting political things here. Also, politics and religion sometimes cross their path. Amen? Amen. So he's an Australian, established WikiLeaks. And that was the last thing the government liked, because he leaked things they wanted to cover up. They tried to arrest him. He escaped to the embassy, the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He lived there for 7 years. And I don't know how the American government persuaded the embassy, but finally they ousted him, and then he was arrested. What shall I say? I'm not going to list all what's here. But he sure shows how much lying is going on. Much lying. Now, my concern this morning is not so much the secular lying. Also, it's serious. I mean, it can start wars, unjustifiable wars. But I am not so much concerned about secular lying as I am more concerned about theological lying. Are you following me so far? The first lie cost us the Garden of Eden. That was theological lie. Is it correct, brethren? We had to leave. And do you know that the last one will be a theological lie that will keep us from re-entering the garden? So this issue of speaking the truth and sometimes believing the truth and obeying the truth is a salvation issue. It's not a small matter. It is a salvation issue. If you have your Bible with you, the bulletin says the next scheduled program starts at 2:30. Is that correct? The bulletin doesn't tell me when to end. But your next scheduled program is 2:30. I will be close before, okay? But turn with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And 15. Revelation 22, verse 15. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and listen, the last one on the list, the last one on the list, whoever loves and practices lies. A very serious matter. Whoever loves and practices. The two goes together, brethren. It's a very serious matter. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Jesus is speaking to us how to prepare for the last days and what to watch. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many." And if we are not careful, brethren, we can be among the many. We have to be careful. Now, of course, a classical illustration of speaking the truth and speaking a lie, confronting each other, is given us in the trial of Jesus Christ. The best, I said the classical illustration. Turn to Matthew 26. Verse 48. Now, his betrayer had given them the sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Then immediately they went up to Jesus, that's Judas, greeting him, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Luke gives us a little extra information. Luke tells us that Jesus spoke to him and says, "Judas, will you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Now, just a few hours earlier, you remember the Last Supper. Just a few hours earlier, Jesus washed the feet of Judas. Now, I highly recommend that you reread Desire of Ages. There is no book comparable to Desire of Ages. I repeat it, there is no other book comparable to Desire of Ages. You will get an insight that nowhere else you can get, and you can trust it. We are told in that book that when Jesus bowed down to wash the feet of Judas, the conviction came to him to confess his sin. Are you listening, brother? This is a serious matter, because conviction comes to us too, and it is a serious matter to accept or reject the conviction. Act in harmony or opposite way to a conviction. The conviction came to him that I should confess, because he already negotiated the betrayal. But he could have confessed. And the Spirit urged him to confess. But the Spirit of prophecy tells us he refused. And what were the consequences? Immediately another conviction took over, that this cannot be the Messiah who humbles himself like this. We expect a king to sit on the throne who will drive out the Romans, and so on, and so on, and so on. This cannot be the Messiah. And the inspiration tells us when Judas left that room, he passed the point of no return. Do you remember that, brethren? Do you remember that? The Bible speaks about a few individuals who passed the point of no return. The Bible, or the spirit of prophecy, tells us, rather, when the first king of Israel, stumbling and the Lord offering forgiveness and again rebelling and stumbling, but when the first king of Israel decided to go to see the woman at Endor. Excuse me. Saul passed the point of no return. You don't find it anywhere else. You find it in the spirit of prophecy. And you can trust it, brethren. You can trust it. We better trust it. We better trust it. So, when Judas left, he passed the point of no return. Just a few more things here. Turn with me to John chapter 18. John, the Gospel according to John chapter 18. And I read verse 33. This is Pilate asking Jesus at the end of the sentence. And Pilate entered the praetorium, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, brethren, we have to meditate on these things and think about this. There was a very serious political connotation. Of course, there was theological issue. Do you bring it to me? Oh, brother. I give you a hug later after the kids, okay? Thank you. Here is another one. Thank you so much. Now I can drink. But please consider, when Pilate asked, "Are you a king?" it had first a political connotation. The Jews had a king, Herod, and Desire of Ages tells us, and the scripture tells us, that at this very time, Herod himself was in Jerusalem, and he was the king authorized to be a king by the Romans. Are you with me so far? So, when Jesus asked him, "Are you a king?" A really political principle was touched. That's an accusation that the Jews brought against him. Political rebellion. But what was the answer that Jesus gave? He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And let's read together verse 37. Same chapter, John 18, 37. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, And for this cause I have come to this world, that I may bear witness to the truth. And here comes the most important portion of the answer that is applicable to you and to me today. It's applicable to you and to me today. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, brethren, that's a salvation issue. If I listen to and obey, yes. But if I don't, forget salvation. Forget heaven. Never enter. Now, about 60 or 70 years later, John the Beloved writes, turn with me to the first epistle of John, because he echoes the very same thing. John, First John, chapter 4, verse 6. First John, chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, brethren, it is a challenge to differentiate between the spirit of truth and the spirit of errors, because inspiration tells us that the devil will come so close with deception, so close that you cannot distinguish between truth and error except by the Bible. And we are privileged to have a little additional info in the spirit of prophecy. That's the reason I love Desire of Ages more. I was going to bring my book. You would have seen Desire of Ages is worn and ready to fall apart, but I love that book. I underlined, I colored it, I made cross references. If you really want to know Christ, you read Desire of Ages, in addition to the four gospels and everything else. It's 12 o'clock on my watch. Whoever brought this, I better drink from here too. Thank you so much. Now, you remember that Pilate said it three times. How many times? Three times. I find no fault in him. That's the Roman governor, the highest authority in Jerusalem, representing the Roman Empire. Are you with me so far? You may say an amen. You know, if I am in an Allegheny West Conference church and the congregation agrees with me, amen goes up so that the chandeliers will swing, brethren. At least I should know that I'm not preaching to the walls, correct? Thank you, brother, thank you. The Jewish leader said in response, now Pilate said three times, I'm not quoting all three, I am hard pressed for time. And if I want to be invited back again, I should not abuse your patience, correct? Amen, brethren. You can say amen. So Pilate said three times, I find no fault in him. What was the response of the Jewish leaders? They said, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself what? The Son of God. Brethren, it was an issue of divinity. May I say it is still an issue? It's an issue among the Muslims. It's an issue among Orthodox Jews and Neologues and Reformed Jews. They still don't accept him as a promised Messiah. And we could boil it down to some of the so-called Christian denominations, that they don't accept the full divinity of Christ. You know, there was a time when he was not. They say, not me. They say, there was a time when he was not. Brethren, there was no time when he was not. Are you with me? I hope there are no Arians here, but don't raise your hand if you are. I'm not against you. I am against the idea. You follow me? We are still friends, I hope. I hope to stay for potluck, and you can get even with me at potluck, all right? So the Jewish leader says, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard it, the scripture says, he was more afraid. Now, the divinity in the Roman mind was not an issue. Even the Caesars claimed divinity. Is that correct, brethren? You know, according to the traditions, the Caesars, after a while, claimed to be divine. So for Pilate, that Jesus claimed divinity was not an issue. So what? We have many gods. But the scripture says that from that on, Pilate sought to release him. And what was the Jewish leader's response? What was the Jewish leader's response? If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Again, go back to desire of ages, brethren. Go back to desire of ages. Inspiration tells us that he tried to make a compromise. He thought that if he will scourge Jesus, that suffering will be sufficient. You know, the Jews will be happy with it and enough. Now, he was mistaken. They were not satisfied with scourging. You remember his wife sent a note to him in the most critical hour. And it is so beautiful. Brethren, it has to speak to your heart. If that description in Desire of Ages does not speak to your heart, fall on your knees and plead for grace, because you have a stony heart. But if you still have a heart of flesh, I mean in a spiritual sense, you will be impressed. The Lord tried to save Pilate from this tragedy and sent a dream to his wife. You know the story. I'm not telling you anything new. This is old story. I am only refreshing your memory. What was her message? Have nothing to do with this judgment. Have nothing to do with this judgment. I suffered much in my dream. So she called him a just man. But the Jews said, if you let this man go, you are not a friend of Caesar. His job was on the line. Now, brethren, this is a classical illustration. It is not enough to know the truth. Are you with me? Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that he was delivered out of jealousy, that he did not commit any crime. He knew. But there was a risk of losing my position. Did you get it? My position and my job. And that was only, that price is only acceptable if you love the truth. Now, no amen. Brethren, the chandeliers are not moving. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, because this is extremely important. It speaks about the Antichrist. I'm not going down on that route because I don't have the time. And you don't have the time either, correct? But if you have another vacation Bible school, I might be able to finish my sermon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Extremely important text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 9, 10, 11. Just listen. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Now please note, among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11, for this reason God will send them strong delusions that they may believe a lie. Knowing the truth has never been enough by itself. Never will be enough, and especially in the last day, brethren, in the last days, we must love the truth. We must love the truth. Let me repeat it once more. We must love the truth. In closing, again, how I wish. I have all the papers here, but anyhow. You heard about Epstein, or in German we would say Epstein, the billionaire who was arrested. Nobody heard about the name? Brethren, you are not listening to the news. But the big thing about it is that he was trying to blackmail, and in fact he did blackmail individuals. Now what is the essence of blackmailing? Blackmailing is the procedure when you bring somebody into a compromising position that you don't want others to know about it. And then you tell these individuals, now you do me a favor or else I make this public. Is this clear? And it's coming out that prominent men, Trump was in his company, Dershowitz, the famous Harvard Jewish lawyer, oh, he's denying it. Clinton is denying it. Everybody is denying, everybody is lying. Forgive me saying this, but brethren, just by association, their reputation is already ruined. Now, in closing, do you love the truth? Do you love the truth so much that if they falsely accuse you in the last days, and they will say the seven last plagues. Now that's a big issue, the seven last plagues. And they will say, you are the cause. God is sending the seven last plague because you don't obey my angels who told you that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. Spiritualism, classical manifestation. Brethren, let me close with this quotation. I was reasonable, no? It's only 12:15. Education. I always sign my books when I buy books. I sign it. I date it. And then when I find something really good, I put on the front page, on the margin, the page number and the sentence. Igor, this is important for you. So every time I open it, it reminds me. I purchased this book in 1961 while I was at Atlantic Union College. Brethren, that's 58 years ago. That's a long time. But I treasure it very much. Page 57. And this is the closing quote. 57. Education. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as a needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Pilate was not willing to pay that ultimate price. You may be asked to pay that ultimate price, and I am almost sure you will be. May the Lord help us to be such individuals as written in this book. Amen. Oh, whoever has, do I announce a closing song? No, yes, but let me just mention, I mean, after all, I asked for this desk. I said to the young lady who led out in the Vacation Bible School, I need a desk for my books. I just like to mention this. The Return of the Latter Rain by Rhonda Field. I got it at the Michigan camp meeting. The good old Michigan camp meeting. I have been attending it the last 20 years, brethren. Conservative, historic Seventh-day Adventist. By the hundreds, they were distributed free, authorized by the Michigan Conference. So I didn't do anything wrong, okay? I gave one to my own ministerial secretary. No amen? Amen. I gave him. I think he needs him. Deeper by Eugene Pruitt. How I would love to speak about this, but time is over. And then, face to face with the real gospel, again picked up at Michigan. Ah, brethren, have a vacation Bible school in September, and I come back in September, okay? Thank you again. The Lord bless you real good. And let's sing the song that is listed in the bulletin. Thank you. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, your only begotten Son, and the revelation that we are able to see and perceive as written in the Book of Desire of Ages, and of course in the four Gospels. But Lord, help us. Lord, help us to love the truth supremely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.